It is called the Shepherd's Psalm. We'll begin. Psalm 23, verse number 1. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for this wonderful psalm that is such a comfort to our hearts. And Lord, when we face the troubles and the turmoils that life often brings, we quickly run to the comfort of this shepherd's psalm. We're grateful, Lord, that we can call you our shepherd and that you lead us and guide us and direct us. And so, Lord, I pray you would help us to learn and to grow, to find confidence in you through your word this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I want us to notice, if we could, this morning, a personal possession. Now, we don't know when David wrote Psalm 23. Some have suggested that he wrote this wonderful psalm as an old man approaching the end of his life's journey, considering everything that God had accomplished in his life. It does feel like there is a lot pouring out as far as experience and God's goodness in David's life. Others have suggested that Psalm 23 was written when David was just a youth, out in the Judean hills with his father's flock surrounding him, his harp in his hand, and this wonderful thought in his mind as he considered looking after his own father's sheep, that he had a shepherd himself, and the Lord was his shepherd, and the shepherd was watching over him. This psalm is wonderfully divided into three parts. Really, at the end of the day, we would all agree, I would think, to say that this is a psalm of trusting God. It's a psalm of looking to the Lord through life's trials and troubles. It's taking God, it's trusting God that he will take care of the frailty of our life, and then he will take care of the foes that come into our life, and he would also take care of our future. A Christian man whose Christian mother had passed away, he walked into her bedroom, and there he found her open Bible. And that open Bible was found, it was turned to Psalm 23. And though the pages of that Bible were tattered and discolored from use, he noticed that in the margin of that Bible, beside Psalm 23, there was an outline. And this outline simply said this: the secret to a happy life, the secret to a happy death, and the secret to a happy eternity. Psalm 23 teaches us all of these wonderful things. But how does it all begin? Well, it begins with a personal possession. You see, it's more than just the Lord is a shepherd. David went deeper than all of that. He didn't just say the Lord is the shepherd. He said the Lord is my shepherd. Notice the personal possession. There's so much that we can unpack this morning in these simple five words. The Lord is my shepherd. And we're going to try to do just that this morning. If you're taking notes with me, I want us to write down number one: a powerful shepherd. A powerful shepherd. Now, there's no doubt that David was a good shepherd. I mean, he cared for his father's flock. He did all that was needed to protect his father's sheep. But David realized in that moment that he had a shepherd that was watching over him. As he began to pen Psalm 23, he understood that God was his shepherd and God was far wiser and far greater than he could ever be. The life of a good shepherd was not an easy one. Of course, beside the task of keeping watch over many, many sheep, the shepherd was also responsible for finding proper water and adequate nourishment for the sheep, and by nature, who was really afraid of everything. Then there was the issue of disease and exposure to the elements and robbers to contend with and wild animals that would take every opportunity to try to devour the sheep if given the chance. And then there was the issue of dealing with hirelings, which the Bible mentions that when danger came, they would run, they would flee, they wouldn't risk their life, but rather give opportunity to their life and risk the sheep, because to them it was just a job. It wasn't their calling. And yet we notice in our scripture here and through the life of David that it was more than just a task and it was more than just a job for David. He truly invested his life in being a good shepherd. But David understood that there was a greater shepherd in his life. As he pens, "The Lord is my shepherd," we understand that the Lord is truly the good shepherd. The Bible says in John 10:11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Jesus said in John 10:14, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." It's the writer of Hebrews that described the Lord as the great shepherd. He says in Hebrews 13:20, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant." It's the apostle Peter who's reminding the preachers of the day to preach the word and to feed the flock that God had given to them. And the very word pastor is the thought of a shepherd or an under-shepherd. People will say, "Well, it's Pastor Burns or pastor." And that word there, pastor, means shepherd, that you are responsible, God-given responsibility to shepherd a flock. And yet Peter understood that one day the chief shepherd would appear. And he writes in 1 Peter 5:4, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive," speaking unto the under shepherds, "ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd, and he's the chief shepherd. And the Bible teaches us that we should be confident in our shepherd's care. You say, "Pastor Burns, why should I trust in my shepherd's care?" Let me give you a couple of thoughts. First of all, real simple this morning, he is the self-existing one. He is the self-existing one. You see, when David said, "The Lord is my shepherd," he said, "Jehovah God is my shepherd." You see, David is saying in this passage of scripture in Psalm 23 that I have a sovereign shepherd in my life. You know, it's all caps in my Bible. It's the most sacred name for deity that the Jews had. The word their Lord means the self-existing one. It means the one who never had a beginning, the one who never had an ending. The Lord is speaking to the Pharisees in John chapter 8 and verse 58. And he's contending with them. He's giving them spiritual truths. They were lost in religion, and they did not know the true God. And so the Lord is giving to them spiritual truths. And the Pharisees say to the Lord, "Do you think that you are greater than our father Abraham?" And the Bible says in John 8:56, Jesus answered and said, "Abraham rejoiced to see the day. Abraham saw in his son Isaac the beginning of God's fulfillment." And they responded to Jesus when he said that, They said, how in the world do you know Abraham? I mean, you're not even 50 years old. This doesn't even make sense. And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Now, that may not mean anything to you, but it sure meant a lot to the Jews. You see, when Jesus said, I am, he was declaring his deity. I am the Lord. I am Jehovah God. And the Bible says that they picked up stones and they were going to kill him for blasphemy because he had just declared himself to be God. And this is indeed what David is saying. He's saying the Lord, the great shepherd, the awesome shepherd, the covenant-keeping God, the self-existing one, the great I am. He is my shepherd, the self-existing one, but also he's the all-powerful one. He's the all-powerful one. The Lord is the creator of all things. When we open the Bible, we are introduced to Jehovah God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible speaks of Jesus, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by him and for him. You see, when David said, the Lord is my shepherd, he took a look around and he saw all that there was. He saw the world around him. He saw the stars. He saw the mountains. He saw the rivers. And he knew who made all of those things. His shepherd made all of those things. He writes in Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who have set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings have thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. David said, when I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers and the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. He writes in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Someone wonderfully penned it this way. They said, the Lord, the one who made the world and everything that is in it, the one who lit the taper of the sun and put the stars in their place, that's my shepherd. The one who threw a carpet of green grass upon the earth and tacked it down with flowers. The one who scooped out the valleys and piled up the hills. The one who took the song of the seraph and robed it with feathers and gave it to the nightingale. The one who took the rainbow and wove it into a scarf and threw it on the shoulders of a dying storm. You see, he said, that's my shepherd. At evening, he pulls down the shade of the night and shoots it through with a sunset fire. That's my shepherd. And when David said, the Lord, he's saying, the Lord, Jehovah God, the true God, the all-powerful God, the self-existent God, he is my shepherd. What a wonderful truth. He's a powerful shepherd. But I want you to see number two, if you're taking notes with me, not only a powerful shepherd, but we see also number two, he's a personal shepherd. You know, it's easy to see the world as it is today. I mean, it's a mess. All around us, we see turmoil, we see trouble, we see tears. We look at the condition of the world and we think, what is happening? What's the problem? I mean, it feels like we're on the brink of World War III. There's no concern in our world today for human life. There's no desire to know God or his principles. There's no interest in spiritual things. I mean, even within Christians, it seems to be more of a lover of self than a lover of God. And yet we look at our world today, we see such corruption. We look at our world today, we see such calamity. such confusion. But I want us to notice the root of all of it. You see, I can show you from the Bible the root of all the mess that we have in our world today. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah 53. I want you to see it in your Bible, Isaiah 53. And notice what the Bible says, Isaiah 53. We'll begin our reading together in verse number 1. Isaiah 53 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Notice what the Bible says in verse 6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." The Bible defines for us the mess that we find in our society. We have all gone our own way. Think about how unimaginable evil and vile our own way is. You say, "Pastor Burns, how evil is it?" Think about what Christ had to suffer on the cross to save us from our own way. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:31, "Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." The Bible says that we went our own way. We did our own thing. But Jesus came to this earth and he died on the cross because he wants to be the shepherd of our soul. And see, friend, we see letter A, it begins at salvation. This is a spiritual relationship. Jesus said that he is the good shepherd and that he knows his sheep and his sheep know him. You say, what is that? That's a relationship. The Bible teaches us that we were lost in sin. We were separated from the wonderful shepherd. We were going our own way, but Jesus came to us and he died for us to save us from ourselves. I want you to turn with me to the New Testament, to 1 Peter chapter 2. I want you to notice this passage of Scripture. Peter is writing here about this wonderful salvation. He quotes for us Isaiah 53. He writes in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. The Bible says, "For even hereunto were we called, were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, and when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He set his hand, his life, into the hand of God the Father, and his will." The Bible says, verse 24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, for whose stripes ye were healed." Look what the Bible says in verse 25. Again, it's speaking of our salvation. It's a wonderful verse. "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls." I want us to notice this wonderful salvation in verse 25, that we have returned to the shepherd. A shepherd here speaks of God's comfort and guidance and protection into our life. The word bishop there is an overseer, and the Bible speaks of the gospel, one who puts their faith and trust in Jesus and turns to Christ for salvation. The Bible says they're born again into the family of God, and they enjoy the blessings of eternal life, and they know that their shepherd is with them. This is salvation. This is what David experienced by faith, that Christ would come and he would die for his sins and he would reconcile his account and he would be right or righteous before God. And by faith, he trusted in God's purpose and plan. And he could say that day, "The Lord is my shepherd," because of salvation. But it's a powerful transformation. It's a powerful transformation. We were once on our own pathway, but now we've returned to the shepherd. And the shepherd directs us and works through us. Paul the apostle wrote to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5. He says, "And are ye all the children of light and the children of the day? We are not of the night nor of the darkness. We are the children of God. We are the children of light." And there's a wonderful transformation that happens. We become a child of God and secure in his family and protected in his care, no longer going our own way. I don't have time, but take some time and read Ephesians 2 and learn about our own way. No longer going our own way, but we are under the care of a wonderful shepherd. But not only is it a powerful transformation, it's an incredible declaration. And so David looks at his life. In a moment, he considers the Lord, the Creator God, the self-existing one. He considers the salvation that's provided, and he writes, "The Lord is my shepherd." What an incredible declaration. The Lord is my shepherd. Can you honestly say that this morning? I'm not speaking about being merely created by God, but I'm talking about having a true relationship with him. Has there been a time in your life that you called out to God to save you, receiving his gospel by faith, resting in his salvation, not in your works, not in your merit, not in the church, not in baptism, but in Christ alone? Has there been a time that you've called out to the Lord? Can you honestly say today, "The Lord is my shepherd"? You see, as the good shepherd, he died for us. As the great shepherd, he lives through us. But as the chief shepherd, he's coming back for us one day. He's a powerful shepherd. He's a personal shepherd. But thirdly, and I'll be done this morning, he's a purposeful shepherd. He's a purposeful shepherd. Within the statement of the first verse of Psalm 23, we really get to enjoy the loving care of a loving shepherd. In Psalm 23, it's often referred to as the pearl of all psalms. It's probably the most quoted psalm in the book of Psalms or even in the Bible outside of John 3:16. It's an incredible message, but yet the world doesn't truly understand its significance. Because of its message, it's one of the dearest passages of Scripture to the heart of the Christian. To be able to say, as David, "The Lord is my shepherd. He cares about me. He's walking with me. He's guiding me. He's directing me. He's protecting me," is just an incredible thing. But what does this mean? What is the purpose of the shepherd in our life? Just real simple this morning. First of all, he cares about us. He cares about us. See, God is the shepherd of our souls, and he truly cares about us. And he cares about us individually. Listen, I don't know the struggles that you're facing this morning. I don't know what it took for you to get here this morning. I don't know the burdens. I don't know the fears. I don't know the hurts that's in your heart. But I'm here to tell you, the Lord does, the shepherd does. Because he individually cares about your life. And when David said, "The Lord is my shepherd," in those brief five words, he's saying a whole bunch of truths. And one of those is, God cares about me. Jesus coming is the final and unanswerable proof that God cares about you. He cares about you deeply. The Bible says that it's illustrated he left the 99 to find that one sheep because he cares about all of us, and he cares about us individually. I believe with all my heart that if you were the only person that would ever receive the gospel, he would have come and shed his blood for you because he cares about you individually. He cares about you. Someone said this, "I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. There's no one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me." In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible teaches us to cast our cares upon him. Casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. The word care there speaks of the worries and the stresses of your life. And I'm sure you have worries and stresses that you have in your life today. And the Bible says to cast them all upon the Lord. Your cares become his cares because he cares. Your cares become his cares because he cares. And he says, cast your cares, your worries, your distresses, your burdens upon the Lord because he truly cares about you. C.H. Spurgeon said, there's no need for two to care, for God to care and for the creature too. God cares about you, and God wants you to cast your burdens upon him. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd," and he's speaking about God's care in his life. Spurgeon said, "He that takes care of our times will also take care of our eternity." He cares about us. But also, I want you to see letter B, he helps us. He helps us. You know, the shepherd has many responsibilities to the sheep. He watches them, he protects them, he guides them, he protects them, feeds them. So many responsibilities. And sometimes he even has to make them do what they don't want to do because he knows that it's best for their life. And the Lord is our shepherd. He does all of these and more and more. He carries us through the storms of our life. He guides us through times that we don't understand. And he's always there to help us. He's always present to help us. The Bible says, "Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The Lord is our shepherd, is there to help us. I read about a woman who locked her keys in her car in a pretty rough neighborhood. And she tried a coat hanger to break into her car, but she couldn't get it to work. And finally she prayed, "God, you got to help me. You got to send someone to help me." Five minutes later, a rusty old car pulled up. A tattooed, bearded man wearing a biker's skull rag, you know, walked toward her. She thought, "Lord, really?" She was desperate. When the man asked if he could help, she said, "Can you break into my car?" And he said, "No problem." He took that coat hanger and just a couple of switches, that door was open. She said to him, "You're a very nice man," gave him a big hug. He said, "Ma'am, I'm not a nice man." He said, "I just got out of prison today." He said, "In fact, I served 2 years for auto theft. I just got out of prison a couple of hours ago." And that woman, she got excited. She said, "Praise the Lord, God even sent me a professional." God is here to help us. He's here to help us. The Lord is my shepherd, David said. What a wonderful truth for our life this morning. I hope that you can say that. I hope that you can say with all of your heart, the Lord is my shepherd. And understand what it means. It means he cares about us. It means he is helping us and guiding us in our life. I'm going to pray in just a moment. If we could have every head bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. I want to ask you a couple of spiritual questions before we conclude our message. First, is the Lord your shepherd? Can you say this morning with confidence, yes, I know today the Lord is my shepherd? What a wonderful truth and what a wonderful confidence we can have. But friend, listen, if you are not confident this morning, if you could say, I don't know if the Lord is my shepherd, I want you to indicate that by an uplifted hand. Listen, I'm going to pray for you, and after the service, I'm going to approach you, and I'm going to show you how you can be saved from the Bible. But listen, today, the Bible says is the day of salvation. I'm not going to embarrass you right now, but with just an uplifted hand, you'd say, Pastor Burns, I don't know if the Lord is my shepherd. Would you pray for me? Would you do that right now? Anyone, anywhere in this auditorium, I don't know if the Lord is my shepherd. Would you slip up your hand? Anyone, anywhere. You'd say, Pastor Burns, I am a Christian. I know the Lord. He's my shepherd. But would you pray for me that I would trust my shepherd more? Is there anyone like that? Would you slip up your hand? I want to pray for you. God bless you. Many hands. Many hands. Let's pray together. Lord, you know the hands, you know the hearts, and I pray, Lord, you would help us to trust you more. I pray you would help us, Lord, to take our life and place